Chapter 8. Meeting Cervantes.
Miguel de Cervantes, at your service, said the man dressed in 17th century clothes.
This is impossible, cried Sarah.
She closed and opened her eyes several times, but the man didn't disappear.
It must be possible because I'm here, said Cervantes.
What are you doing here?
Sarah asked.
I know that you're studying about me this year, Cervantes said. The decisions that you took convinced me that it was time to visit you.
We need to talk.
About what?
Sarah asked slowly. She still couldn't believe that Cervantes was in her bedroom talking to her.
You've read about the things that I did in my life and the adventures I had, Cervantes said. But have you learned anything from this?
What do you mean?
Sarah asked. Cervantes smiled.
If you study the past, you can often learn about the present, he explained. I know that you're having a difficult time at school at the moment, but you shouldn't give up the things that you really enjoy.
Sarah was surprised.
How does this man know so much about me? She thought to herself.
Think of my life, Sarah. I never gave up during the most difficult times, Cervantes continued.
I know, said Sarah. I was really impressed that you tried so many times to escape when you were a slave. But I don't understand.
Oh, no, Cervantes interrupted. That wasn't the most difficult time of my life. Actually, that was easy.
Easy? How could that be easy? Asked Sarah.
It was easy because all I did was concentrate on escaping, explained Cervantes. There was nothing else for me to think about. The most difficult time in my life actually started when I became a free man.
I'm confused, Sarah said. It just doesn't make any sense to me. Why was it more difficult to be a free man than a slave?
Cervantes moved closer to Sarah and looked directly into her eyes.
Sarah, he said, I became a free man and then spent the last 22 years of my life trying to make a living as a writer. It wasn't easy. Many people didn't see that I had a talent for writing, so during 15 of those years, I had to take other jobs to make money. It was very frustrating, because they were jobs that I didn't like.
You were a tax collector, weren't you?
Asked Sarah.
Yes, I was responsible for collecting equipment and food for the Armada, said Cervantes. I took things like extra grain and oil from people and institutions because I was given orders to do so by the Spanish authorities. It was very, very difficult to travel alone doing this. Tax collectors have never been very popular. I was even excommunicated from the church a couple of times.
Why?
Sarah asked. She was fascinated by Cervantes' story.
Because I was doing my job well, Cervantes answered.
There were times when I saw that certain churches had more grain than they needed, and I confiscated it for the Armada. This made the leaders of the churches very angry, so they excommunicated me.
That's not fair, cried Sarah.
Well, there's more that's not fair. I was also sent to prison unjustly several times, Cervantes said.
Several times?
Sarah repeated.
But how could you be in prison unjustly so many times?
It was easier to put people into prison then, even if they were innocent, Cervantes explained. Let me give you an example.
One day, a man named Don Gaspar Ezpeleta was mortally wounded outside my house. My wife and I brought him into the house. She took care of him while I went to get the doctor. We learned later
that Don Gaspar loved to seduce women. One of his lovers was the wife of the man who had attacked him. His name was Galvan. However, Don Gaspar was a nobleman with very important friends, and one of these was the mayor. So, instead of arresting Galvan, my entire family and I were arrested.
Why? Sarah asked. You didn't hurt him. You tried to help him.
We were arrested because the mayor didn't want Don Gaspar to get a bad reputation, Cervantes explained. If he arrested Galvan, people would discover that Don Gaspar was sleeping with another man's wife. Instead, he arrested us. We spent a few weeks in prison until we were finally released because there was no evidence against us.
But that's so unfair and corrupt, Sarah cried.
That is the way that things were then, Cervantes said. However, I never lost hope. In spite of all the problems I had, I never stopped writing. I never gave up trying to be a successful writer.
But your plays were produced, said Sarah.
Yes, they were, Cervantes agreed. But I never made enough money from them to be able to dedicate myself only to writing. I always had to return to tax collecting.
Well, Don Quixote was very popular, insisted Sarah. I'm sure you made enough money from its sales to live comfortably after that.
Cervantes was quiet for a moment. The strange thing is that I never expected that novel to be so popular, he said. I sold the copyright to the publisher. He became rich, and the money that I received finally ran out. I died a poor man, Sarah.
That's really ironic, Sarah said.
Life is full of ironies, said Cervantes, smiling. They can make you laugh or cry. I prefer to laugh, especially at myself.
Sarah didn't know what to say.
Compared to Cervantes' problems, hers didn't seem so bad. She went to the window and stood looking at the sky and stars for a few seconds, absorbed in thought. Sarah, she suddenly heard Cervantes say, Sarah, can you hear me? Sarah, Sarah. It wasn't Cervantes' voice that was calling her name. It was her mother's voice waking her up.
Sarah, it's late, her mother said. You've fallen asleep studying. Come on, get up and get into bed.
It was all a dream, Sarah said quietly as she stood up from her chair.
What did you say? Asked her mother.
I just had a strange dream, answered Sarah. Do you want to tell me about it? Her mother asked. She was still worried about Sarah.
Maybe tomorrow, Sarah answered.
I just want to go to sleep now.
Sarah said goodnight to her mother, got into bed, and fell asleep almost immediately. The next morning, Sarah woke up feeling full of energy. However, as she showered and got dressed, she couldn't stop thinking about her dream about Cervantes.
I think I've always considered Cervantes to be a great writer. I've never thought of him as a normal person with problems, Sarah thought. Now that he's considered to be one of the greatest writers ever, it's difficult to imagine that he probably felt very frustrated during his lifetime. It's sad to think that he died without the success he deserved, but I admire him for never giving up on his dream. Sarah went downstairs into the kitchen, where her family was having breakfast.
Did you have any more strange dreams? Her mother asked as Sarah sat down next to them.
No, Sarah replied, smiling. I slept really well, and I feel much better today. I've decided
that I'm going to continue with the play and the independent project. I don't want you or Dad to worry about me. I'll be fine.